Chapter 13. Asteroid Impact Mission. I was shocked. Exactly the same as Michael had been, though perhaps with not quite so much anger thrown in. What use are the police? I didn't expect them to send an armed tactical team round to Vladimir's house straight away, but this, a crime number. The tabloid sites are right. We are sliding into anarchy. Michael couldn't even slam the door as he left. He tried, but it had damping hinges. I sat in the flat by myself for the rest of the afternoon, thinking about what I remembered and what to do about it. Future me was obviously revealing Michael's life to now me for a reason, but I simply couldn't see what it was. Not yet. I still needed more data. One interesting thing, though. Whenever I saw Michael, I received more of his memory. He must be a visual trigger. And yesterday he'd been looking around for Vladimir. So there was still a stalker problem. Future me must be wanting now me to help, somehow. I really needed more information to add to the file. The next day, I wore a pale blue hoodie and black trousers to go to Docklands. Not that I had to worry about the security people. Now that I knew his routine, I waited in Jubilee Park, out of sight from the office entrance. Michael went to lunch at 12:41, so slightly later today then. It was just him and one other bloke this time. I sat on a bench and watched the pair of them go past. I guessed they were talking about work. Both of them were looking very serious, and there was plenty of hand-waving. And I'd been right. Just the sight of him was bringing back another memory. I was remembering the time, not long ago, when Michael caught sight of Vladimir. Then I wasn't remembering anything at all, because I was looking across Jubilee Park at one of the big, curving entrances to the tube station, and saw him, standing just inside the arch. Vladimir McCann, right in front of me. He was stalking Michael. I left right away. Dad's advice wasn't going to help. By the time I got to the security people outside Michael's office and told them, Vladimir would be gone, and they'd be super suspicious about me. The new Michael memory was from 3.5 weeks ago. I knew that because Michael was sitting in a coffee shop in Docklands reading the paper, so I knew the date which the stories were from, just before school term finished. Some animal instinct makes me look up from the news about an East London MP's expenses scandal, and there is that piece of scum, Vladimir, standing outside the window, looking in at me. Scruffy little non-entity in his mid-30s, with thinning brown hair that hasn't been washed for a while, and stubble that isn't yet a beard. Baggy grey-green corduroy trousers and a suit jacket that is several years out of style, with sleeves that are all creases. He isn't making any attempt to hide, just staring in at me. Some of the other customers have noticed him. They nudge each other uncomfortably. Vladimir doesn't quite come over as a typical homeless type, but he is disturbing enough to rattle the cozy mums having their coffee break after getting the kids to school. So what do I do now? Go out and confront him? Just sit tight? I have to admit, some part of my brain is playing an enjoyable fantasy of me marching out there and smashing the crap out of him. But he is a genuine nutter. Giotti had to shut her Facebook page down after that second rant he posted. Not that the police did anything about that either, idiots. We stare at each other for a few seconds. I keep my expression completely emotionless. Then I fold my paper up, keeping eye contact with him. When I stand up, there is a flicker of panic on his face, and he turns away. I walk to the door, all calm and cool. I'm not going to shout or threaten. I'm determined about that. But I am going to do my best to be utterly intimidating. Hopefully, even his junked-up brain will have enough basic animal self-preservation instinct left that he'll know not to come near either of us again. By the time I get outside, he is 20 yards away. I don't chase after him. That would be stupid. But I do keep that level expression in place. And yes, he looks back, seeing me all unruffled and cold-eyed. I swear he starts walking even faster after that. That's right, freak. Run. Go plague your therapist. When I finished writing all that up in the Michael Finson file, I read it back carefully. What Michael did in the coffee shop, trying to alarm Vladimir. I don't think he thought that through properly at all. I mean, the other day when I saw him for the first time, he was still checking to see if Vladimir was still stalking him. So, one, he now knows that quite clearly wasn't the end of it, even though he missed seeing Vladimir today. Two, how come Vladimir, 2A, knew who he was, and 2B knew where he was? Obviously, Vladimir is being a whole lot more active than just sending out weird Facebook posts. He discovered that Michael was Giotti's new boyfriend. Discovered either where Michael worked, or more worrying, where they both lived. Now, I did the same thing quite easily, because I have Michael's memories. But to do that without insider knowledge is more difficult by a whole order of magnitude. You've got to be seriously obsessed to accomplish that. And Vladimir hasn't stopped following Michael about. It was so creepy seeing him there at the tube station. I mean, it was weird when I saw Michael for the first time, but this was frightening and weird. What did Vladimir want? Or did he even want anything? He was in the middle of some kind of breakdown, so he wasn't rational. I wondered if he was going to mug Michael, or worse, put him in hospital. Maybe he thought if he got rid of Michael, then he stood a chance of getting Giotti back. From what I knew, I didn't think so. For a start, they were engaged. But perhaps Vladimir didn't know that. I opened my laptop and went to my Big Russell Facebook page. I stared at it for a long time, trying to decide if I should help. I pictured Vladimir as a dinosaur killer asteroid, one big enough to wipe out all the life on Earth if it crashes into us. Like the voiceover says at the start of Armageddon, it's happened before and it will happen again. But here's the thing. If an asteroid 10 kilometers in diameter is streaking towards Earth, it's very difficult to knock it out of the way when it's close, say, inside the moon's orbit, like they did in Armageddon. By then, it's too big and too close and too fast. That much inertia is way too difficult to alter, even if you hit it with a dozen nukes. So if you look up what NASA suggests, you'll see they want to target it with smaller kinetic impacts while it's a lot further out, which only delivers a tiny change, of course. That way, by the time it reaches Earth, the course change has grown enough that it sails harmlessly past us. They're even researching how to do it. A joint mission with the European Space Agency called AIDA, scheduled for a 2020 launch. That was what Vladimir needed. Right now he's this massive ball of anger and madness heading straight for Michael. And nukes, common sense, the police, wouldn't stop him. But a small kinetic impact now, before it got out of hand, should deflect him. I figured this was it. This was the reason I was getting Michael's memories. Future me remembered where they take me. Jubilee Park this lunchtime. Seeing Vladimir today was such a small, subtle thing, It made me the tiny early kinetic impact, the deflector who averted catastrophe. If I intervened, Michael Finson could go ahead and lead a normal, untroubled life. So, Big Russell sent a message to Vladimir McCann's Facebook page. "Hi, I heard Giotti and Michael are engaged. That's really good news. In the future, they will be happy together. We should all wish them well and let them get on with their new life." There, that should do it.